Blog Talk Radio.
We ride for,
yeah.
We die for,
yeah.
Serve y'all only, cause there is no one besides one. We ride for,
uh-huh.
We die for,
uh-huh.
Serve y'all only, cause there is no one besides one.
There is none before y'all.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
There is none beside God.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
There is only one God.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
There is only one God.
So, yeah.
There is none before.
And that job.
There is none beside.
And that job.
Uh-huh. There is only one God.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Let them know once again. Say
yeah.
It. We die for, serve y'all only, cause there is no one besides one.
There is only one
Captivity is looked on us. We still torture, struggle by the system. Adorn and eat his garments. Homie missed the slaughter on eight levels.
Yeah.
The black rose that grew up by the concrete, dribbled up from the rose petal. A house ever, many dry bones lying darkness.
This
speckled bird around to make a meal off the carcass of the unlearned to see lie right in their mouth. Cause we turn the deaf ear when the wisdom is it cried out.
Awake,
and gather all nations that's not desired.
Uh-huh.
For the speaking of the most high faith was soon expired, not the lie. So why made a song to prophesy?
Right.
That we have to do away with the wicked, seek the most high,
that's
and the
right.
Reply. We already did it, so set aside, cause the people that is waiting on y'all, be the Messiah, cause we say,
there is none before,
and that's y'all,
let them know.
There is none beside,
and that's y'all,
uh-huh.
There is only one, y'all,
uh-huh, uh-huh, let them know that,
uh-huh. There is none before,
and that's y'all,
uh-huh.
There is none beside,
and that's y'all. We ride for,
yeah.
We die for,
yeah.
Serve y'all only, cause there is no one besides one.
Yeah.
There is only one.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah. My feet planted holiness to y'all in this sanctuary.
Uh-huh.
Righteousness was filled, many secrets revealed. Right on the seventh day, the fear of y'all walking on his ways. Proof, righteousness, mercy, judgment maintained. Can't forget about perfection. We must be equal to be restored, to bring goodness to y'all's people. Change people broken by the word of Yahweh's prophets. Darkness is not the option. Y'all light will guide us out of purity. Cleaving to y'all is what the meek will
go
do.
Ahead.
The words of y'all shoulder them soaks the oak podium.
Uh-huh.
We'll procure your treasure no matter what other nations do.
Yeah.
Gotta change up our
yeah.
hearts, and we
yeah.
will make it through
yeah.
to know that
there is only one God.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Let them know that
there is none before.
And that's y'all.
That's right.
There is none beside.
And that's y'all.
Uh-huh.
There is only one God.
One more time. Let them know. Let them know that
there is
uh-huh.
none before.
And that's y'all.
Yeah.
There is none beside.
And that's y'all.
Yeah.
There is only one.
We ride for,
uh-huh.
We die for,
uh-huh.
Serve y'all only, cause there is no one besides one.
There is only one God.
Uh-huh.
Take them home.
Let's go.
Yeah.
We praise y'all. We praise y'all. Come on. 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 We praise y'all.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the Creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the Creator has allowed us to come before you another day, bringing to you his great, holy, and exalted words, even the words of truth. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 2330 Kemper Lane, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth, for Yah ordained me to tell you the truth, and this is what I'm going to do. And who is this Yah? Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our king. He's our judge. He's our lawgiver. And Yah is our only savior. And not just of Israel. Yah is the savior of the world. And I praise the mighty Yah again for allowing us to bring to you his holy and exalted words. We began to teach on the book of Exodus. Not in a way that maybe you have expected, because these books, you have not been introduced to them in this manner, such as the book of Genesis, which comes from the Hebrew word Bereshit, which means the beginning. This is how Genesis starts out, in the beginning. That is the name of the book. But what did Yahweh want you to know about your beginning? Well, the main thing he wanted you to know, and the main thing you need to know about your beginning, and not just yours, but the other beginnings that has very relevant knowledge and information that's relevant to you. The main thing you need to know about your beginning is your origin, your generation. And this is the information that we brought to you. But you can't stop where we started and where we ended. You have to take this knowledge all the way through the book, so that you might know your generations. And there's many generations you should know. Likewise. And we brought you 12 different generations in the book of Genesis. Why 12? Because that's what it speaks about. And these generations, made no mistake about it, they all, according to the 12 tribes of Israel. That's how Yahweh would set the whole bounds of the earth. Let me show you this. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, this is what the Creator will bring to us. Deuteronomy 32. And this is what it says. 7 verse. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father, and he will show you. Your elders, and they will tell you. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And now here we have, in the book of Genesis, 12 different generations that we brought to you. But now, we've been dealing with, this week, the second book of the Holy Scriptures, which is called Exodus, which come from the Hebrew word shemot, which means names. And you will find in the book of Exodus, the very first verse, these are the names. And this is what you're going to find. You're going to find 12 different names in the book of Exodus. We brought you the first names, and we count them as one, but they really two. And that was the names of the midwives in the book of Exodus, the first chapter. But we started on this book of Exodus, which means names, talk about names, but why? How can you know the various laws and commandments and statutes and judgments and testimonies of Yahweh without knowing these names? What they mean, what they represent, and what they're testifying to. Shifra literally means brightness. Pua means glitter, brilliancy. Both of them represents light. That's what their name means. But what really do they represent? Well, both of them, according to the book of Exodus, feared Elohim. Of course, a lot of people tell you they fear the Most High. But really, they don't know. And oftentimes they don't. They just haven't been tested yet. As these women were, as the midwives were. And they put their life on the line for the Hebrew men of the children of Israel. Now, did the Hebrew men do something special for them? No. Did the Hebrew men, were they some type of elite people that they needed to put their life on the line for? And the answer is still no. But when you fear the Most High, you would do the right thing. And this is exactly what they did. Was the right thing because they feared Elohim. This is the whole duty of man. He said the children of Israel was the apple of his eye. He said that the children of Israel was his world without end. He said the children of Israel was his witnesses. He said, Israel is my son. And so it's understandable when you fear the Most High, you do the things that please him. And that's exactly what they did. But are you pleasing to the Most High? Are you representing something that will please and bring delight unto the Most High? If you do not, you might want to re-examine yourself. Watch what the scriptures say. In the book of Isaiah 42, I want you to see this. Because a lot of people don't know the Most High. They only think they know the Most High. And then what happens is the ones who do know the Most High try to tell you something, try to teach you something, try to show you something, but you won't hear it. You won't listen because you only think you know. But in truth, you don't know at all. Because if you knew certain things, there will be certain things you wouldn't even do. And why? Because you fear Elohim. Watch this in the book of Isaiah 42. The very first verse says, behold, my servant, whom I uphold. This is what Yahweh said. Look at my servant, who I uphold. My elect, in whom my soul delights. I put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. This is somebody that Yahweh say, my soul delights. and on you doing the thing that Yahweh delight in. And I'm here to tell you, Shifra and Pua did exactly the very thing that Yahweh delight in. Therefore, they were part of the servants whom Yahweh delights. Because truly, if you're doing the things that he delight in, truly, it would only make sense that he would delight in you. Then we brought to you Yahweh's servant who we know delight in, Moshe. And here is Moshe, and I may add about Shifra and Pua, they were keeping the law even before Moses brought the law, the main law. And what was that? To fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Now, this Moshe is the one who brought the books of the law to the people of Yahweh. To the extent that Yahweh said, remember the law of Moses. Remember his law. Because he the one that was charged. He was the one given the honor to go up into the mount and receive the written words of Elohim, sitting face to face as a man speaking unto his friend, to Yahweh, and brought these words back to the children of Israel. Yes, this is what this Moshe did. Moshe's name means drawn from the water, because this is what his mother would do, put him in a basket, he's trying to save his life, put him in the water to see what would happen to him. She no longer could hide him. And of course, Pharaoh's daughter ended up raising this Moshe. But everything Moshe would do, not everything, but a lot of things he would do, he would show very signs and wonders through the water in which he was brought from. Because there were great miracles in this water. But watch the greatest thing about this water. Here it is. This man whose name means drawn from the water, people will complain to him over and over again about this same water. Murmur against him, even to kill him. And the people would never learn to stop murmuring, to stop complaining. They were just over and over and over again until Yahweh got tired of it and until Moshe got so frustrated, so tired, that he himself, the meekest man on the earth, the meekest man in Yahweh's house, the most faithful man in Yahweh's house, he would even sin concerning the very thing his name represents, and it represents water. And one of the signs that Yahweh told him to do, he told him to speak to the rock, that water will gush out of it. And he didn't speak to it. He smote the rock as he did before. Water did gush out. But it was not because Moshe did the right thing. And he could not go into the promised land as a result of his sin, as a result of not sanctifying the Most High. But imagine, here it is. He was the most faithful, the meekest man in Yahweh's house. He was an example of the way we are to conduct ourselves. The long-suffering, the patience. That he did is what we supposed to have. Watch this in the book of Psalms 119. Psalms 119. Show you this. And we're going to read verse 165. And watch what this is. This is a verse I don't never want you to forget. Great peace have they which love your law. Now ask everybody, do you love the law of Yahweh? And if you love the law of Yahweh, do you have great peace? Either you love the law or not, or you have great peace or not. But you can't say you got a bunch of peace and you don't love the law. And you can't say you love the law, but you don't have no peace. And then watch what it further says. And nothing shall offend them. I can read this 1,000 times a day. But it won't mean nothing if I don't understand it. In other words, I can just continue to be offended about everything that's said, everything that's done, everything I see, everything I hear. But at the end of the day, all it demonstrates that I'm not like Moshe. Because Moshe did not get offended. Moshe just prayed for the people. As they will murmur, and as they will try to hurt him. But he knew they were just only hurting themselves. He knew this. The greatest prophet that ever lived. So he was the second one that we would bring to you in the book of names, because that's what Shemot mean names. But the third one we will bring to you in this book of names. And why names? The scripture said to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. So you got to learn these testimonies. How are you going to skip over these testimonies when the testimonies is testifying of the laws, commandments, statutes, and judgments of Yahweh? That's what it's doing. Watch this. Just to show you this. Because the next two people we will talk about, the third and fourth person, one whose name is Aaron, and the other one, his sister, whose name is Miriam. And yes, they are recorded in the book of names for a reason. And what is the reason? So that they will also, through their names, testify unto you. And what is their testimony? In the book of Exodus, the fourth chapter, and we're going to start reading the 10th verse. Watch what this says. And Moshe said unto Yahweh, O Yah, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And Yahweh said to him, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the dumb or deaf or the seeing or the blind? Nobody can say, I'm blind because of such and such. The only reason you're blind is because of Yahweh. If you can't see, it's because of Yahweh. If you are deaf, it's because of Yahweh. Even if you are dumb, it is because of Yahweh. Now, therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. And he said, O Yahweh, send, I pray you, by the hand of him who you will send. And the anger of Yahweh was kindled against Moshe. And why? Why did Yahweh get angry? I mean, Yahweh is long-suffering of great mercies, abundant mercies. So why did Yahweh anger get kindled against Moshe? He knew Moshe. Well, because Moshe was demonstrating that he didn't believe in Yahweh. He was doing it by not having confidence in himself, but really, he did not have confidence in Yahweh, who would send him to do what Yahweh told him to do. So not only he didn't show confidence in himself, but he wasn't showing confidence in Yahweh. And just be totally frank and honest, Yahweh can't use you if you're not going to believe in him and you're not going to be confident in him. But he knew Moses was the man for the job, because there was no man more meek than Moses. There was no man more faithful than Moses. So he knew he was the man for the job. But he also knew that I need to give him some help. And this is how Yahweh did it. And the anger of Yahweh was kindled against Moshe. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? And why Aaron? Why his brother? And why a Levite? Well, Moses was a Levite. And Levites show a different type of spirit in their zeal towards Yahweh. But he said about this Aaron, I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he comes forth to meet you. And when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. And what do Aaron mean? Well, the name Aaron is real peculiar name, because most of the books will tell you that his name is unknown. They don't know where it originated from. They don't know if it came from the Egyptian language or the Hebrew language, but they'll tell you they don't know. Certain texts will tell you that part of his name means mountain or high, because he was the high priest. But the fullness of his name, Ahuron, that is the Hebrew pronunciation of Aaron, Ahuron. And the only indication of his name in the scriptures is being the brother of Moses. Thy brother. As you will see and read. And you can read these scriptures all through the book of the law, but the way Yahweh will deal with Aaron is almost exclusively as Moshe's brother. Well, it don't do Esau and Jacob that way. It don't do Cain and Abel that way. It don't do other brothers this way. But with Aaron, it seemed to be his name is just our brother. And speaking of Moses, even though Aaron was older. Watch what it says. 14th verse again. And the anger of Yahweh was kindled against Moshe. And he said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? And I know he can speak well. And also, behold, he comes forth to meet you. And when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. This is what it says about this Aaron. His first introduction was the fact that he was well spoken. And of course, as many of you all know, it wasn't Moshe who spoke to Pharaoh. It was Aaron who was saying, thus says Yahweh, let my people go, that they may serve me. And if thou will not let them go, and of course Aaron would tell him the consequences. It was this well-spoken man who was convicted in the things that he spoke. For he spoke well. But not only did he speak well, watch what Yahweh would say about this same Aaron in the book of Exodus, the 7th chapter. The very first verse. And he says, and Yahweh said to Moshe, see, I have made you an Elohim to Pharaoh. And Aaron, your brother. In other words, still talking about your brother, shall be your prophet. He could easily just say, and Aaron shall be your prophet. But no, he said, Aaron, your brother, shall be your prophet. The word prophet means messenger. This is why in the scriptures, it tells us that we are to seek the law, the mouth of Levi. And why? Because he is the messenger of Yahweh. And this is what Aaron was. He was a prophet. He wasn't just a priest, but he also was a prophet. And we saw Yahweh through him. And it is true. We saw Yahweh through the prophets also. But Aaron was a prophet also. So not only he can speak well, because he was thy brother, Moses. He was a prophet. Moses' brother, once again. And not only that, in the book of Exodus 28, look what it says. Here is a man whose whole life he was beside his brother, and came into prominence by his brother. Through one of the weaknesses of his brother. In the book of Exodus 28. And this is what it says in the very first verse. And take you unto you Aaron, your brother, still always talking about his brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister to me in the priest's office. Even Aaron, Nadab. See, he could have just said Aaron at all these places. But for some strange reason, he's saying, your brother. Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And you shall make holy garments for Aaron. Watch what it says. Your brother, for glory and for beauty. So not only Aaron so important in the scriptures, Moses didn't have special garments. No other tribes had special garments. No other Israelite had a special garment. No kings had special garments. But Aaron had a special garment that only he and his sons after him was able to wear. And they were set apart from everybody else. So not only he can speak well, not only was he a prophet and a priest, but he was to minister in the priest's office in special made garments by law. And you won't know what these garments is until you read the law, until you read the statutes and the judgments, until you read the commandments. That's when you're going to learn about these garments. And we're going to read about them, I can assure you. Because by law, somebody had to make it. Also by law, he had to minister in the priest's office. And yes, his ministry was by law. So just reading and testifying about Aaron, you're going to learn the law. Do you realize there was laws that they had to uphold, statutes and judgments they had to do when they came into the sanctuary of the Most High, when they taught the children of Israel? When they put on garments, when they could put on garments, certain dates they had to put on the garments, certain things they had to do, certain responsibilities they had. You're not going to learn these things without. These things were just, it wasn't for just anyone. It was for your brother, Moses, your brother, and his sons. Likewise, watch what it says in the third and fourth verse of the same Exodus 28. And you shall speak to all that are wise hearted, whom I fill with the spirit of wisdom, that they make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister to me in the priest's office. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, an ephod, a robe, a broidered coat, a turban, a girdle, and they shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother. Again, your brother. And his sons, that he may minister to me in the priest's office. So Moses was not, Aaron was not the minister of Moses. He was not anybody's minister but Yahweh's. And he had to wear certain things by law. He had to speak certain things by law. And of course, as you know, he had to do certain things by law. Why? Because he was not only Yahweh's minister, but he was a messenger of Yahweh, Moses' brother. In this same Exodus, the 28th chapter. And of course, he spoke well. He was a prophet, ministered in the priest's office, wore holy garments, sanctified and separated, as we're about to read. Watch what it says about how he was to be sanctified. In the book of Exodus 28, and we're talking about Aaron. Yes, thy brother. In the book of Exodus, the 28th chapter, this is what it says in verse 1. Just talking about all the things that Aaron is supposed to wear. It says in the 35th verse, and it shall be upon Aaron to minister, and his sound shall be heard when he goes into the holy place before Yahweh, and when he comes out, that he dies not. And you shall make a plate of pure gold, engrave upon it, like the engravings of a signet, holiness to Yahweh. You shall put it on a blue lace, that it may be upon the turban, and upon the forefront of the turban it shall be. And it shall be upon Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquities of the holy things, which the children of Israel shall hallow in all their holy gifts. And it shall be always upon his forehead, that he may be accepted before Yahweh. And you shall embroider the coat of fine linen, and you shall make the turban of fine linen, and you shall make the girdle of needlework. And for Aaron's sons you shall make coats, and you shall make for them girdles and bonnets, shall you make for them. For glory and for beauty. And this is the verse that I wanted you to see. And you shall put them upon Aaron, your brother. Again, your brother. And his sons with him. And shall anoint him. Consecrate them. Sanctify them. That they may minister me in the priest's office. How are you going to read about Aaron? How are you going to read about his sons and then not know nothing about his sanctuary, about his ministry, about the garments that he will wear, what he has on his head, what he have on his loins, what he has head down to his toes? You don't know none of these things. And as a matter of fact, you don't even know who made these things. Because these things that we're speaking about are the things that make up the various laws, statutes, judgments, commandments of Yahweh. Knowing this Aaron, this Ahuron, thy brother, is essential to knowing the word of Yahweh, to knowing the book of Exodus. For he was separated, him and his sons, from the children of Israel. And let me show you something in the book of Leviticus, the 16th chapter also, concerning this Aaron. And this is out of Exodus. but it's not something different. It's just about Aaron. See, once you start studying Aaron, you're going to go out of the book of Exodus. This is where the story begins, because the book of Exodus is about names. And now we are talking about our forebears of the law, our forebears of the commandments and statutes and judgments of Yahweh, our forebear of the holy things of Yahweh. This is where this begins. In the book of Leviticus 16, start reading at Leviticus 16, verse 2. And Yahweh said to Moshe, speak to Aaron, your brother. Why does he keep? We already know that Aaron is Moshe's brother. But for some reason, Yahweh would tie Aaron to Moses and Moses to Aaron. And this is how he will speak about this Aaron, that he comes not at all times into the holy place within the veil before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he dies not. For I will appear in the cloud upon the mercy seat. In other words, going into this holy place, this veil, this holy of holies, there were certain instructions, statutes, that Aaron had to follow to go in before Yahweh and before this mercy seat. And he only can go in there once a year. And once we get into the various books of Leviticus, we're going to show you what that once a year is. But show you why it's so important that these instructions was followed to a T. Watch Leviticus, the 16th chapter, the first verse. And Yahweh spoke to Moshe after the death of the two sons of Aaron. And why did his sons die? It's going to tell you why. When they offered before Yahweh and died. In other words, Aaron's sons offered strange fire, strange incense before Yahweh. Something that he had not commanded, something that was not according to the statutes and judgments, commandments, ordinances, and testimonies of Yahweh. And as a result, Yahweh killed them. So that's why it is so vitally important to learn these things, and you will learn these things. All you got to do is study Moshe, one of the names in the book of names that Yahweh wanted us to know about. And then you study his life, the very things he did, all through the five books. Of course, his life didn't even begin until the book of names, the book of Exodus. But it will show his impact even on the book of Genesis. But then you get to Aaron, and you will see Aaron's impact on the book of the law. His responsibility, his job, what he was to wear, what he was to do, and how this pertains to you and I. Because these are the testimonies. These are the names This is what the book of Exodus means. It means names. And how are you going to study the book of Exodus and you don't know no names? Who knew about Shiphrah and Puah and how great they were, how they would deliver the men and children? They were deliverers who feared Elohim. But then Yahweh will give us another name of someone else that he wanted us to know about in the book of names, in the book of Shemot. Yahweh just didn't want us to read a story about us leaving Egypt, but you will read about that story if you study these names. Matter of fact, you will know more about the story if you study these names rather than just reading the book. Because these are the names that are testifying to you the word of Yahweh. The fourth name, we had Shiphrah and Puah. Then we will have Moshe. Then we will have Aaron. And then the fourth name that Yahweh will show us is this woman prophetess whose name Miriam. And most people, they know Miriam. They heard of Miriam, but they know little about Miriam, other than the fact that she was a prophetess. But let me tell you, let me show you something that you might not have known. The name Miriam, if you know her, her name means rebellious, bitter. Just take the time and look it up for yourself. Yeah, she was a prophetess, but her name means rebellious. And why would somebody choose that type of name for their son or daughter? I don't know. But at the end of the day, did she represent what her name means? And I'm here to tell you, sure she did. And let me show you. Let me show you, just like Aaron represented all through the scriptures, how he was Moses' brother, all through the scriptures. And everywhere Moshe went, Aaron was on his side. With the exception of when Moshe went into the cloud to speak to Yahweh. But when Moses spoke to the elders, who you think was speaking? Aaron. When he spoke to Pharaoh, who you think was speaking? Aaron. When he did all the signs and wonders before the people, who do you think did them? Aaron. Everywhere he would. How can you go anywhere without your spokesperson, without your mouthpiece, without your sidekick? And that's what Aaron was. But Yahweh didn't call him a sidekick. He didn't call him a mouthpiece. He didn't call him anything other than what he was, your brother. And everywhere he went, his brother Aaron went with him. And Miriam, she will show you through the word of Yahweh, she's exactly what her name means. Even though she was a Levite, and even though She was a prophetess. The first time you will read about this Miriam in the book of Exodus 15, because we're reading about names. That's the only reason we're dealing with names. Because that's what the book is called. Names. The only reason we dealt with generations. Because the book was called Bereshit, beginning. And how can you know your beginning without knowing your generation? In the book of Exodus 15, this is what it says in the 20th verse. And this was a good thing. And Miriam the prophetess, in other words, the word prophetess comes from the Hebrew word Nabiya. Nabiya not just only means you're prophesying, but it also means poet, poetry, some type of one who can sing with poetic words. And of course, the first time you see this Miriam, look what she's doing. And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women went out after her with tambourines and with dances. In other words, she's singing, which represents also the fact that she was a prophetess. And Miriam answered them, "Sing you to Yahweh, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horses and his rider has he thrown into the sea. So Moshe brought Israel from the Red Sea. And they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water." In other words, she is the one that just leading the people in song to Yahweh. No other woman but this Miriam, but this prophetess. But this prophetess had a side of her. And I don't get me wrong. Everybody got this good side and this bad side. But I'm here to tell you the truth. The reason why I want the sisters to take great notice of this is because, and the brothers too, that it don't matter what you are, your position is. The thing that matters is your spirit. And you have to begin to learn how to control your spirit. Your husband can't do it for you. Your children can't do it for you. Your brothers can't do it for you. The sisters can't do it for you. The elders can't do it for you. You have to be in control of yourself. You can't allow your emotions to control you. But watch what it says about this Miriam, whose name means bitter. Why are you so bitter? Rebellious. And why are you rebelling? Watch what this says in the book of Numbers, the 12th chapter. This is what you're going to find when you read about Miriam. Sure, she was a prophetess. Just look up her name and then ask me, why would her name mean that? Watch what this says. In the book of Numbers, the 12th chapter, the very first verse, "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moshe because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman." In other words, you know how you get when you think you know the law better than the person who's teaching you the law. Better than the person who's being revealed the law. Better the person than who's trying, who's walking in the law. Watch what they said. Second verse, and they said, has Yahweh indeed spoken only by Moshe? Has he not spoken also by us? And Yahweh heard it. In other words, they tried to put themselves on the level of Moshe. Yes, there's Miriam and Aaron. But why was Miriam singled out? Because the last person that should have been putting herself on this level is her. And she was mentioned first. And chances are she spoke first and led the charge. Now, why would I just make that assumption? Maybe because that's what her name means, rebellious and bitter. Watch this. And what do this mean to us? Is this the type of spirit that Yahweh wants us to have? No. He's going to show you how he don't want you to have this type of spirit. Watch what it says. Third verse. Now the man Moshe was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And Yahweh spoke suddenly to Moshe and to Aaron and to Miriam, come out, you three, to the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And Yahweh came down in the pillar of the cloud, stood in the door of the tabernacle, called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my word. If there is a prophet among you, I, Yahweh, will make myself known to him in a vision, will speak to him in a dream. My servant Moshe is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him, apparently, not in dark speeches, and the likeness of Yahweh shall he behold. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moshe? And the anger of Yahweh was kindled against him, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. And behold, Miriam, it didn't say Aaron, it said Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was white. In other words, she was leprous. But why her? Well, if you knew what her name meant, you would understand why her. But most people don't know. They just assume that Yahweh just picking on a woman. Like everybody, so she's just a woman, and so you just picking on the women. Not so. You can try to say that about B. You can try to say that about other men. But you going to say that about Yahweh? And Aaron said to Moshe, alas, my master, he didn't even say it to Yahweh. He said it to Moshe. I beseech you, I beg you, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead. In other words, that's what happens when you become leprous, white as snow. You like one dead. You ever seen a dead person and how pale they become when the breath begins to leave them, when the blood stops flowing and the heart stops? Watch what it says. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed, when he comes out of his mother's womb. In other words, even if a black baby came out, you're going to see them looking pale because they was in water, they was inside, they had no light, and they come out pale. And this is how Miriam was described. Moshe cried unto Yahweh, saying, heal her now, O Elohim, I beseech you. And Yahweh said to Moshe, if her father had but spit in her face. So you know she must have been very insolent, bitter, and rebellious, even as her name states. And Yahweh said to Moshe, if her father had but spit in her face, Should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that, let her be received in again. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not until Miriam was brought in again. And I can assure you, the only reason why she was brought back in is because she was healed. But Yahweh wanted this as a testimony to shame her for at least 7 days. And why? Because you shouldn't have never spoke against Moshe. You shouldn't have never rebelled against him. As a matter of fact, you shouldn't rebel against none of Yahweh's servants, nor show your bitterness toward them. Because little do people know, Yahweh said, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, my elect in whom my soul delights." And we don't know the delights of Yahweh unless we study them and know them. And if you knew how Yahweh feel about some of his servants, why do you think he blesses servants with certain things? Because he's attempting to show you his delights and show you how this thing with Miriam became a law. Watch what it says in the book of Deuteronomy 24. In the book of Deuteronomy 24, this is what it says. The 9th verse. All the things Yahweh wants us to remember. This one. Deuteronomy 24:9. Remember what Yahweh your Elohim did unto Miriam, by the way, after that you will come forth out of Egypt. Why? Why do he want us to remember? As a matter of fact, we need to start at the 8th verse. It says, "Take heed of the plague of leprosy, that you observe diligently and do according to all that the priests, the Levites, shall teach you. As I commanded them, you shall observe to do." And then it says, "Remember what Yahweh, your Elohim, did unto Miriam, by the way, after that you will come forth out of Egypt." Remember this thing. Because Yahweh, what he did, he wanted the world to know. He wanted Israel to know. That's what will happen when you become rebellious. Or this is one of the things that could happen when you become rebellious. And she was a testimony for that. And of course, in the book of Numbers, the 20th chapter, the very first verse, speaking of Miriam, it says, "Then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month. And the people stayed in Kadesh. And Miriam died there and was buried there." And if you read about this place called Kadesh, where the children of Israel journeyed, this place was not far off from the various places that the children of Israel will come before they went into the land. And we're going to read about this place once again. So I don't want you to forget this place that she died and where she was buried. But with that said, she still was a Levite, she still was a prophetess. In the last scripture that I want you to see is Numbers 26, And this is what it says. Verse 59. And the name of Aaron's wife was Jochebed, the daughter of Levi, whom her mother bore to Levi in Egypt. And she bore to Aaron, Moses, and Miriam, their sister. And these the only three children they had. And all three children were prophets, all of them. A family of prophets and priests. Aaron and Miriam. This is who we would read about in this book of Exodus, the book of names. Jethro and Pua, 1. Moshe, 2. Aaron, 3. And Miriam, number 4. And we will bring 3 other names to you on the Shabbat day. So until tomorrow, Yahweh love you, and so do I. Shalom.
Child Entertainment.
The creator,
the only,
the holy,
the creator,
the only.
Savior and a judge of who to be. Yahweh is righteous.
Rest thou with me. Oh, you can never be my king.